Hi guys, it's Keaton here for the Casthetic Podcast. I want to remind you to please use the Amazon banner link at the top of our website at casthetic.com for all of your online shopping needs. It costs you nothing extra, and the show gets a percentage of all the sales. Please bookmark it. And now, on to the show. Welcome to Casthetic. I'm here with the man, the legend, Stephen Lee. We got him in the studio. That's him. On this, the most mournful day of Merle Haggard's passing.
And 79th birthday, I think.
Whose birthday?
79th birthday.
79th?
Merle Haggard today is his birthday, I think.
Oh, man. Dying on your birthday?
Well, it's not his birthday. Well, his birthday, not mine.
Well, yeah. He died on his... That still sucks. Yeah. Either way, it sucks. But you played a little song of his tonight, Ramblin' Fever.
Yeah, just, I don't know, just seemed appropriate.
Yeah, it does. So here it is for you, Merle Haggard, listening up here. You're going to love this cover of one of your near and dear songs. This is Stephen Lee playing Ramblin' Fever.
Can't be measured by degrees. Ramblin' fever, and there ain't no kind of cure for this disease. Well, my hat don't hang the same hook too long. My ears can't stand to hear the same old song. If someone ever told you that I gave a damn, well, the damn sure told you wrong. Got a restless strand of fever all along. Now I caught this rambling fever long ago, when I first heard a lonesome whistle blow. Now I don't pull off the highway long enough to bog down in the mud. Got a restless strand of fever in my blood. With a rambling fever, kinda can't be measured by degrees. Got a rambling fever, now there ain't no kind of cure for this disease. Times I like to bed down on the sofa and let some pretty lady rub my back. We'll spend the early mornings drinking coffee, just talking about when I'll be coming back. Cause I don't let no sin tie me down, and I'll never get too old to get around. Well, I'ma dial on the highline right away, like some old highline pole, with a restless strand of fever in my soul. With a rambling fever, kinda can be measured by degrees. Got a rambling fever, now there ain't no kind of cure for this disease. Say there ain't no kind of cure.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that, Mr. Haggard. So let's get to know Stephen Lee. Well, we already know Stephen Lee, so we won't get to know him. But
yeah, we don't need to know me at all.
Yeah, you know, just a legendary guitar player, six shooter from good old Manassas, Virginia. But you just recently won Deli Music's artist, best emerging artist.
Yeah, DC Area Emerging Artist of the Month, yeah. Which is, by the way, anybody that's listening, super thanks for everyone that voted for me. I was talking the other day, I don't think I could actually, everyone that voted for me, I was like looking at the votes like afterwards, I don't think I could name 312 people from history. Like, I don't think I can. So yeah, I'm just super honored about that.
Yeah, it must be a bit. Were you expecting the nomination or?
No, it just kind of came out of the blue. Yeah, a guy that I've never actually met, but we've kind of corresponded back and forth for, he did a little write-up for me for one of my shows in D.C. At the Deli Magazine, and then I got an email one day, you know, just like, hey, by the way, you're nominated for this, just heads up, and I was like, oh, dude, you know, so I just tried to get the message out, and people were nice enough to vote for me.
Now, your latest album that came out last November has also been getting a lot of really wonderful reviews.
Yeah. The Pittsburgh City Paper one was super awesome, but just tons of Frederick Post did some stuff. A bunch of people have been nice enough to listen to it and write some nice words about it.
Now, where did you record that album, or do you have any cool stories from recording it?
Recorded it with Tim Winslow, who runs the OK Recordings, which is sort of the record collective that I'm a part of up in Baltimore. And there's several awesome acts that Swedish Fist, I think, recently recorded with him, Toolshed. But I recorded it with a slew of various session players who were nice enough to come play on it. But we recorded it at Reverb Lounge, which is like this art space right in... there's so many neighborhoods in Baltimore, I always mix it up, but I guess it's called Hamlick or something. I don't know. It's just north of Station North. but it's like, it's a cool like art space that does shows and of music and otherwise, I think burlesque, cabaret. But they let us use the space during the day to track drums and guitar and vocals.
Now, how was the music scene in Baltimore? How is it compared to humble beginnings in good old Manassas?
Humble beginnings in Manassas. It's cool, man. I really like it. It's Baltimore for a big town has a very small town feel. And so the music scene, the art scene, everything up there is just very open. It's just people making art for the sake of art. And there's tons of great spots and venues. And there's in particular, a handful of bands that I really dig that are doing cool stuff up there.
You want to name drop any?
Maybe the Hollywood listening. Blanks are super rad. You know, like I said, Swedish Fist, Toolshed.
So anyone a part of the collective you're in, pretty rad guys.
Well, anyone that's around me, you know, yeah. It's going to be cool, right? now, dude, there's just tons of bands. I'm totally blanking right now, and sorry for anybody I'm not mentioning. there's tons of music happening out there.
Awesome. Your album, I really want to talk about one song in particular, Bukowski.
Okay.
You have a lovely duet with a lady, I already forgot her name, even
Kara
though you
Holgren.
Told me. Yes.
She plays in the Swedish Fist, by the way.
She does?
She is the Swedish Fist.
Oh.
As well as the Twanger Sisters and any other.
Well, there you go.
Projects.
That would kind of answered whatever question I was slowly forming in my head at the time.
What question?
I don't know, just who she was, if she's involved in anything.
Yeah, she's super busy. All around town, her and James Von Linz are just, it seems like in every other project that's coming out of Baltimore. And they play in Voodoo Pharmacology as well. It's a super awesome band. But anyways, I think we were just recording and I was talking with Tim one day and we were like, you know, what else do we want on this record? And sort of writing down a list of this and that or whatever. And he said, hey, well, why don't you call up Kara and see if she wants to come over and do a couple duets. And yeah, she came over and I don't even think I even gave her demos. I think she just walked in and we just kind of worked it out like in an hour or so. And then she laid it down probably first or second take for both of them.
Goddamn, like a goddamn professional.
Goddamn professionals, right.
All right, well, let's move on to a little segment we have on here, which is new to you because last time you were on, we were still in a closet.
I think we were in one of the practice studios at Nova Music.
Yes, very tiny room.
Yeah, and we had the smallest one because there was lessons than all the other ones.
Here it is. Cue the music. It's five questions. Ready? Are you nervous?
Yeah, I'm very nervous.
All right, he's reaching for his relaxing beverage. I will not tell you what that relaxing beverage is.
For fear of ruining my reputation.
Yeah, but it relaxes him. All right, so first question. The worst gig you ever played.
Worst gig I've ever played. Man. Well, I did a party outside of Manassas one time, and just as a solo performer in between like two metal bands, and I think everyone just thought I had like jumped on stage like in between these two metal bands, like maybe while like, oh, somebody stepped out, and I'm like, oh, I got my guitar, I'm ready. But I was legitimately booked for the show, and so I'm playing and no one's really paying attention, whatever. But in the middle of one of my songs, probably because it was the saddest and slowest one of the set or whatever, some dude just walked up on stage, or the sectioned of the room that I was standing in that had the microphone in front of me, walked up, and in the middle of the song I took one step away from the microphone doing a solo or something, and this dude just walked up on stage and started doing announcements about the show, like in the middle of my song, in the middle of my set, just like, if you got the blue Volkswagen, you know, you're double parked and we need you to move that. Also, got really appreciate everyone coming out. There's lots of great music happening tonight, so obviously please stick around. You know, and I'm like literally in the middle of a song, you know, and he just kind of walked away or whatever. And I came back up and I was like, here's the second verse of my song I'm still playing. So that one was that's definitely right up there.
All right. The worst equipment malfunction you had during a show.
Well, playing a long show, like a 3-hour set or 2-hour set or whatever in, Charlotte, North Carolina, at this place called Tommy's Pub, which is super rad. It was the second set, and I think I definitely had a bar tab of some kind, and some drinks were had, and I had my amp on the table, and you know, just a 6-foot cord, which is all I ever need. But the table's aside, whatever. in the middle of one of the songs, I got really excited and I like spun around real quickly on stage, and just like the cord didn't come out of the amp, it just pulled the amp off the table and it just but kept working. You know, to Fishman's credit, it kept working. but I don't think the direct out on my amp works anymore, or at least not for that channel. So I don't know if that was an equipment malfunction, or if that was just a musician malfunction.
We'll chalk it up to equipment. Something could have caught fire, so I guess.
Nothing's equipment. Ever caught fire.
All right. Now you're a man that has done an extensive amount of touring, so I imagine there's going to be a really good answer to this one.
Oh, I'm scared already.
The dirtiest or scariest place you've stayed during a tour.
Ooh. Scariest place I've ever stayed. I mean,
only just, stayed in dirty once.
Yeah, well, the dirty is, you know, traveling musician's life, right? there's always dirty places. I don't know. One time in Pittsburgh years ago, played this house show. You know, me and several musicians drove up and did the show in Pittsburgh at a place called the Lily Pad, I think is what it was called, and next door, the house was owned. There's just nobody living in it at the time, and there's like a punk rock house at the end of this line of row houses. They broke in to the house that was next door or whatever, with a really good reason, you know, to let traveling and traveling bands like crash there. And it's like, you know, super nice, and nobody's partying over there. It's kind of quiet, so. And I'm actually now realizing that I might be mixing this up with another story. But so I've done this a couple times. I've stayed in these
We don't have a place for you to crash, man. But we'll just break into this house.
Yeah,
for
like,
you to.
And it's real clean. Nobody parties over there. So like, you know, you can go to bed whenever you want. you know, so I've done that a couple times, and that's always a little nervous, because, like, you kind of, like, go on sleep, and you're like, oh, but I'm not going to wake up with, like, the cops, like, some sort of vacancy code, I don't know, being called. Yeah, I think that's probably, I don't know, I keep a pretty quiet tour life, so I don't think I have too many crazy ones.
Just a little, like, misdemeanor squatting.
Oh, yeah, pretty nothing, yeah. I mean, I didn't break and enter, right? So, like,
no,
you know,
someone
Somebody else broke it. I just entered. And yeah. That can't be a full felony to just enter.
That's called a 50-50 crime.
Is that? Yeah. Is that,
you're only getting charged for one part of it or the other.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't break and enter. Somebody else broke and I entered.
All right. The closest you've come to quitting music.
Ooh. Well, I did quit for 3 or 4 years. It was a full 3 or 4 years, maybe just 2 years, just exaggerating. I don't know. Yeah, I did, because I did music all throughout high school and early college, and then kind of got fed up with it, and just started booking shows, around Manassas, which is a super great experience. It's how I met you, and lots of people actually, you know. But I did that for several years, and then I did this rock and roll summer camp where we was a camp counselor and. Parents would foolishly send their kids off to this camp that me and a whole slew of other, like, you know, working musicians or just young adults, adults in quotation marks. And we would basically just party. Well, for the hours the kids are awake, we're camp counselors. We're on the job. We're doing it right. But as soon as, you know, they would kind of go to sleep, and obviously nobody's going to be out or whatever. And so then we would just have a bunch of drinks in our room and try to go to sleep as quickly as possible, you know, to then, like, wake up and take the kids to camp. And but it was just a super fun experience. And we didn't get drunk too much or anything like that. And but the party after, the day after the kids left, we still had the dormitories for or whatever, and that was a pretty wild camp counselor sort of Wet Hot American Summer-esque party. But anyways, after just being around all these musicians and just sort of, you know, it kind of invigorated me. I wrote a song about the summer camp, and kind of that's how I sort of got back into the music thing. There's always highs and lows. You just try to keep your right head about you for the lows and just know you get through it.
What a beautiful message.
Yeah.
Get through the lows, man. Normally this question is for bands because there's many of them, but you're a solo guy. So
we got all these dudes here that are in my band that we just don't have microphones for, you know. But
no, it's... We're not counting them. You guys stay in that corner.
They're just the backing band. They don't get it.
All right. So what's your best memory as a musician?
So best memory?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. There's so many good ones, man. There's, you know, like I was saying earlier, I mean, there's definitely some bad ones, but there's way more good ones always. I'll tell you what. I just played the Art Mart. down in Fredericksburg, cool art space. I got a show coming up there too. I gotta look on the calendar for that. But in April, I'm playing at the Art Mart this month. I'm playing at the Art Mart again. But anyways, last show I played there was just a phenomenal show of friends and new friends that came out. It's a small space, whatever. There's probably 20 or 25 people there. But there's people in the front row or of, you know, the art space or whatever, you know. The front row before the microphone, right in front of, you know, right in front of me or whatever.
The little area you're standing in.
Yeah, exactly. The stage, if you will. the stage corner of the room. But anyways, there was people singing along. In fact, a lot of actually significant number of people singing words to several songs of mine, which has happened on and off a couple times, but really hasn't in a long time. And I don't know, man. That was just fucking phenomenal. Just that's right up there with, like, top five for sure.
Did you know these people?
A couple of them.
A couple you didn't. That's
yeah.
Because normally it'd be like me and Ricky drunkenly.
There were some people I knew and some people I didn't know that were singing along, and it was and requesting songs. People I knew were requesting songs, but still, even people I know don't usually. They're like, I don't like that one, but I like it better than the one I was going to request, so we'll take that one. But this time was, like, there was people, like, several requests for songs, and I was like, wow, like, somebody's listening to this thing?
What a great feeling.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got another song for you guys listening out there. It's a Stephen Lee original. It is Buckeyed Girl. So here you go.
Boys, beware of buck-eyed girls with eyes blue as water. Midwestern men, now they learn to swim. Eastern boys, they sank to the bottom. Now you're traveling, boys. I tell you once more, you on a route to the south of Ohio, where Kentucky highways and brown-eyed babes, they keep you on a straight and narrow. 'Cause I don't know what you heard, boys, I don't know what you read, but these women, man, they ain't nothing like you ever seen. You keep an ear to the ground, you listen out for a voice soft and low. God's gift, that Odysseus knows better than to open. 'Cause I don't know what you heard, boys, I don't know what you read, but these women, man, they ain't nothing like you ever seen. Southern girls are learned in love, but Ohio women teach. You see what I mean when your heart grows wings, flying high in any Carolina. No woman can reach. And you will sing, said you boys, beware of buck-eyed girls with eyes blue as water. Midwestern men, yeah, they learn to swim. Eastern boys, we sank to the bottom. Said Eastern boys, sank to the bottom. And no, we don't even float.
Welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed Buckeyed Girl. Now, Steve, is there a little story behind Buckeyed Girl?
Yeah, there is. You know, try to sum it up real quick. The most recent lady that was nice enough to date me for a while is from Ohio, and several of my friends, I don't know, just a lot of people actually just. I've been noticing just a lot of people are dating girls from Ohio, a lot of people like in my life. And the most recent time was I went up to go visit my ex-girlfriend and took my best friend with me. And he, we were just up there for one night. Anyways, basically he ended up coming home with, you know, sort of a girlfriend or whatever, a lady of interest, also from Ohio. And we went to Pennsylvania. We didn't even go to Ohio. Like, he just found another Ohioan. And I realized, I was like, man, this is like an epidemic. Somebody needs to warn people about...
What's going on in Ohio?
About these buck-eyed girls, man.
Some kind of girl factory.
Well, I don't know what it is, man. I don't know, man.
All right,
well, some pretty girls out there.
You got any shows coming up? You got any albums coming out? What's going on in your life?
Well, I'm busy recording right now, and I'll be recording through the summer for the next record. Doesn't have a title or anything yet. Yeah, both the songs that are recorded today. Obviously, the Merle Haggard cover is not on the record, but the other two are. Yeah, I got one playing Joe Squared in Baltimore. On North Avenue, with Sean K. Preston, who's just a phenomenal, I mean, traveling dude a bunch, but also just a, you know, a Baltimore icon. And I'm playing there with a buddy of mine, also Alex Colbreth, who's in Austin, Texas now. Originally from Virginia, but he's on Austin, Texas now. You know Alex, right? Alex Goldbreath?
Feel like I do.
Dead Country Stars? His band? Parlor Soldiers? Whatever. Anyways.
I've heard him.
Yeah, he's originally
from... But I'm not remembering a face.
Yeah, he's originally from Fredericksburg. He lives in Texas now. But anyways, he's coming back up. I'm playing Joe Squared. That's on April 16th. April 17th, I'm at Art Mart again in Fredericksburg. Heritage Brewery in Manassas on April 22nd. And then, last one, I promise, May 2nd, which is a Monday, I'm playing with Sophie Auster and Lenore at the Metro Gallery in Baltimore. Tickets are on the website for that one. I'm super stoked about that. That's an awesome venue and awesome musicians.
Wow, you're busy.
I try to stay busy.
Very busy. And I believe you also have a open mic that you're hosting now.
That's right. Wow.
Yeah.
I'd ask you to remind me. And
yeah, boom.
Did.
I wrote it down.
Nice. I should have. Every Tuesday at Philadelphia Tavern in Manassas, Virginia, 7:30 to 10:30 and or question mark. But, you know, sign up starts at 7:30.
Just like a birthday party in fifth grade goes to question mark.
But we'll all be in bed on time. But it's a Tuesday, every Tuesday night through April. I'll be hosting the open mic down at Philadelphia Tavern. Check that out. It's awesome musicians, awesome players. Patrick and Billy are also co-hosting some of those shows, and phenomenal players and musicians in their own right.
Definitely. And speaking of open mics, I got one to tell you guys about. Epicure Open Mic every Monday night and every Thursday night. So that's three nights of open mics for you guys. That any night.
Forget the weekend, man. Yeah. Forget the weekend. It's about the week.
Yeah, it's all about the week's open mics. You start partying on a Monday. You go through to a Sunday. All right? And you start at open mics. But Epicure is a great place. Highly recommend them. Then there
As do I, man. I played a couple shows down at both their locations. And awesome open mics. Some of the best talent in Northern Virginia.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. It's a real hot spot.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got a whole bunch of shows for you guys to know about. Red Sword is playing Friday, April 22nd at The Pinch, and also on Thursday, May 26th in Fredericksburg at the Bourbon Room. So go check them out. Red Sword's an awesome band. All right, and then we got Lado on April 16th at Light Horse, and then April 22nd, Lado is playing again at Colonial Tavern. April 22nd, Yum, Milo, and the Doldrums and Shirt Pants are playing at Epicure's. See, Epicure, telling you. American Television is having their EP release on April 23rd at the Velvet Lounge. Then the Dusk Whales are playing April 29th at McMahon's in Warrenton. And then Eddie Faulkner is having his EP release at Iota on May 8th. He's a cool guy. He's poppy. He's got some toe-tapping tunes, so check him out, too. Then July 16th is the Cataclysmic Bacon Fest the 3rd, put down
Bacon
over
Fest.
At Art Mart. That's going to be a blast.
I think I'm playing that as well, actually.
Of course you are. And then speaking of another thing you're probably playing is July 21st through July 24th is Untitled Music Festival, yeah. My favorite music festival.
Dude, it's one of the best ones, man.
Oh, yeah.
I hope I'm playing. I've played almost every one of them, and I applied this year, but I don't think I've actually heard officially.
Nah, dude, you'll play.
All right.
You'll just show up.
I'm just going to play. Yeah, I'm going to show up and play.
You'll show up, someone will be like, hey, Steve, get up there, and you'll be like, I don't know. But you'll bashfully go up while we're egging you on, even though...
Well, I'm going to feign bashfulness. Yeah. I'm not very bashful.
Oh, no. You gotta feign it to appease people.
Yeah.
Make them think you come from humble beginnings.
Really, I live in a palace, guys. Royal, I'm actually in line for the English throne.
But you never guess it.
No. If I'm doing my job right. Dude, I showed up last Untitled Fest. I had a gig the night before, and I was playing on the Sunday, and I was in like Northern West Virginia, and I ended up just like driving through the night as I left at like 2 a.m., and I got there at 6 a.m. There was people still partying up, and so I hung out with them for a few hours and drank a little bit and then slept for an hour or two and then got up and played. dude, Untitled Fest is insane.
It's great. It's wonderful. And everyone listening should be there this year.
Agreed.
A big thank you to Bias Studios for allowing us to record in this beautiful locale, and a big thank you to Ken Burnham and Mark Ryder for recording, mixing, doing all this other stuff that, like, I can't even explain. Science hasn't explained it. We can just call it magic or witchcraft at this point.
Making me sound pretty, too.
We got one more song, which, dude, I gotta say, like, this song's haunting. Like, it sticks with you.
Thanks, this song, man.
It gave me chills. But you were telling me you wrote it during a snowstorm?
Yeah, we had that snowstorm back at the end of January, and I had a gig in Pittsburgh. And I thought for sure that I could make it to Pittsburgh before the snowstorm. And I was going, got 3 hours in, it was a little dicey, but I was doing it. And then they shut down the highway in Somerset, Pennsylvania, and I missed my gig. I had to stay 2 nights in a hotel because everything was closed, couldn't go anywhere. And went down to the hotel bar, which is in the song a little bit. I'll tell you what, man, the snowstorms bring the crazies out. They bring the crazies out, and I ended up just leaving and going back to my room, and I was like, I'm not drinking with you guys anymore. Yeah, just sort of a little reflective, couple drinks in, stranded in a hotel in the middle of nowhere song.
What a way to describe it. Well, here it is for you guys listening. It's been a pleasure having Steve on the show again. It's been a pleasure, you know, talking to you guys out there on the internet.
Dude, it's been a pleasure for me for sure.
Well, here it is for you guys. End of the World by Stephen Lee.
Well, the sky's been gray now for days. The highway's closed. Semis line the streets now for miles, buried in the snow. Will sinners find the sin like the faithful bend a knee? And the drunk finds the bar as the congregation starts to sing. Not here at the end of the world, I'll confess that I was wrong. Well, out here at the end of the world, I confess I should have called. It's a fool that assumes that his place in heaven is kept for him. But it's a righteous man turns his back, loads his gun and digs in. Now the bartenders hustle as the priests search the text for the words to say. The drunks order doubles in the lobby, the congregation pray. And out here at the end of the world, I'll confess and raise a toast. Well, out here at the end of the world, you weren't the best, but you were close. On the TV, they're calling for the end of days. Well, the sailors on the shore, they're calling in record-breaking waves. And the drunks downstairs, they're all screaming, but they're too tired to tell. And down the hall in my room, it's quieter than hell. And out here at the end of the world, I'll repent my wicked ways. Said out here at the end of the world, I just pray that you're safe.